We are up to Perek Chof Ches. No. I'm sorry. Perek Chof Zayin. Pasuk Yud Beis. Perek Chof Zayin. Pasuk Yud Beis. V'choyah b'yom ahu, on that day, referring to Yimos HaMashiach, Yachboit Hashem. Hashem will hit with the staff. Now, this, the word Yachboit is used in reference to a grain of wheat, a stalk of wheat or a stalk of barley, and the farmer, he hits it to separate the kernel from the chaff. So this pasuk is a mashal of how Hashem will separate the times of Mashiach Klal Yisrael, all of the Jewish neshamos, which are in this pasuk, the mashal, they are the kernel. And the chaff, the psoilas, refers to the environment, to the umos ha'olam. That at this point in time, there are going to be many Jews that are going to be, you want to say the word, assimilated. And if you, I don't know to what degree you want to use that word, but they will be intermingled, assimilated in the secular, non-Jewish environment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to forcefully extract these Jewish souls. And it's a two-step process. The first part of the process is to take a stick, to take something very hard and give it a zetz, to bang this stalk of grain, to separate the kernel, the oichel, from the psoilas. And after it's been separated, which is obviously very painful for us to be awakened in such a harsh way, to realize that we have been intermingled, we are been assimilated into our secular environment, and then after we've been separated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actually pick each kernel of grain and bring it to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Moshe Pesach he was giving, and this is going to be taking place in two locations. I'm going to give you some background. Two locations are going to be Eretz Ashur. Where will the Jewish people be assimilated? Where will they be dispersed among two nations? The nation of Ashur and the nation of Mitzrayim. That's the simple reading of this pasuk. So one more time. V'choyah b'yom ahu, on that day Yachbod Hashem will hit. Hashem Mishibolas Hanor. Mishibolas Hanor is a reference to Ashur. Why is Ashur the Shibolas Hanor? Because that's where Mishibolas means the gushing. The gushing of the river. That's where the Euphrates gushes. It gushes. That's the strong current, the strong flow of the Euphrates passes through the land of Ashur. So again, Shibolas in this context means the gushing of Hanahar, which refers to the land of Ashur, and all the way down to Nachal Mitzrayim, where the Euphrates empties into the stream of Mitzrayim, which means the land of Egypt. That's where there will be Jewish souls intermingled with the secular environment, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will have to take the stick and hit them and break them in order to separate them. Then, after they've been separated, they're still lying there. They've been separated, but they're still in Eretz Mitzrayim. They're still in Eretz Ashur. The Atem and you individual kernels of grain, which here referred to Bnei Yisrael, Tilukitu, will then be plucked, will be brought, will be taken, Lashon of Lekach, Ki Lekach Tov, will be taken, Le'achad Echad, one by one, Bnei Yisrael, one by one, you read the passage backwards, Bnei Yisrael, each individual of Bnei Yisrael will be actually taken and brought, transported to Eretz Yisrael. That's the mashal of this passage. And then the pasuk again says the same idea in other words. Pasuk Yudim, it's different parashas, a different prophecy. V'hoya b'yom ahu yitaka b'shoifar galus, a very famous pasuk. We say this on the Yomim Noirahim, in the ten psukim of Shoifros. V'hoya b'yom ahu, there are many beautiful nigunim. This pasuk has been put into many beautiful nigunim for that reason. V'hoya b'yom ahu, on that day yitaka b'shoifar gadol, it will blow. It will be blown. The key will come forth with the large shofar. The large shofar is a reference to the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. The Eloi Shel Yitzchak, the time of the Akedah. Yitzchak Yitzchak was about to be slaughtered, and then suddenly Vayisei Lev Hayard, Malach told Avraham Avinu, Al Tishlach Yotchel Hanar, Al Tas Lo Meuma, Vayisei Lev Hayard, Hinei Ayil, Achar Nechatz Basach Bekarnav. He took that ayil. Chazal tells us every single part of that ayil was used for something special. And there were two horns, and the larger horn was preserved for Yemos HaMashiach, when the Melech HaMashiach, Ani Reich HaLchama, will come and blow. Well, it's not exactly who's going to blow this horn, who's going to blow the shofar. Me'akos Baruch Hu blow the shofar, Yitaka b'shofar gadol, Uvohu ho'evdim bi'eretz Ashur, and those that have been lost in the land of Ashur, going back to the previous pasuk, that's for the Mishibayles Hanar, the Hanidachim, those that have been pressed, have been pushed away, the Eretz Mitzrayim, the Hishtachavu LaHashem, they will bow to Hashem, the Har HaKodesh, in His holy mountain, the holy mountain. What is the holy mountain? The pasuk defines the holy mountain as being Birushalayim. Now we explained this pasuk a while back, that the many of the Mepharshim of Shwab, he takes the lead, but many Mepharshim the same thing, that the two lands of Eretz Ashur and Eretz Mitzrayim, this fits into our, what we call our musical chairs, musical chairs theory, that in every nation, in every generation, we have to redefine who is Mitzrayim, who is Ashur. These nations, of course, existed at one point as real nations, but every nation in modern times, and as generations pass, different nations take on the character, equivalency of the ancient nations, of Mitzrayim, of Ashur, of Bavel, of Plishtim, of Aram, of Tsar. This is a very popular theme. Who is Ashur today? Who is Mitzrayim today? So it doesn't really matter, but Chazal tell us that Ashur comes from the expression of happiness. Ashrei Yoshrei Vesecha. Osher, happiness, with an aleph, happiness. And Mitzrayim is from the expression of boundaries, Mitzarim, Metzar, a boundary, Tzar, distress. So this goes back to the old vart of Hatzileni no, Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esaf. Our enemies attack us in two techniques, Miyad Ochi, they embrace us. Our brother, we love you, you are our brother. Come, join us, be part of our culture, be part of our civilization. Just and through the love, we slack off and we chas v'shalom could abandon the Torah mitzvos, and we could assimilate and embrace the culture of the host country, which obviously is k'neged kol Torah kula. And then there is miyad esaf, where the enemy comes against us to direct combat to destroy us. So Eretz Mitzrayim represents the concept of Miyad Esaf. In Mitzrayim they tried to destroy us. Kolabein Hayilud Hayoyt Hashlichu Va'avodim V'inu Yasam. Torture, Tsar, pain. So that's Eretz Mitzrayim. And then there is Ashur, which is the other approach, where Miyad Ochi, happiness. Join us. And that's why when it comes over to the expression of Eretz Ashur, the term used in the pasuk Ko'evdim, those have been lost. In Ashur, in the land where everything goes, where they embrace us, we're assimilated, we're lost. It's hard, almost impossible to identify me Yehudi. You don't know who's a Jew because assimilation. And in the land of Mitzrayim, you know who you are. When there is a ghetto life and you're pushed aside in this torture, so the Jews have been diminished. But the ones that survive, they're not allowed to enter into society. They're pushed to the side. They're tortured. They're enslaved. They're called the nidochim, those that have been pushed away. So this pasuk has very modern application for Bizman Hazeh. Different countries, Jews find themselves in different situations. Some countries they are embraced, and we know, like in America, unfortunately, the rate of assimilation is off the charts. And then there are the communist countries where we've been pushed away, we've been persecuted, there's also assimilation there as well, but you understand what I mean, is that those countries, we've been put ghetto life, and that also had an effect of Khorban. Jews have been dwindled, and they lost a connection to their religion, to their heritage, but their nidochim, they're pushed, the whole approach was by pushing them away. And that's what this pasuk is saying. Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing. In the Midrash, there's a principle that Vayahi, and especially by hibi mei, means trouble ahead.
Sar.
Whereas, in contrast, behaya,
simcha.
Especially behaya, bayom hahu.
Simcha, time of simcha. Beautiful. Vayhi v'achashverosh. Vay, the time of tzar, was a gezerah, time of tzar. Right. So very good. So this is a time of great joy. These two psukim of Yimosam Sheikh of Kibbutz Golios. That's what these two psukim are telling us. Pasuk Yibet, Pasuk Gimel. Again, they're intertwined because of the Shiboyles Hanohar is a parallel to Eretz Ashur, and Nachal Mitzrayim is a parallel to Eretz Mitzrayim. So that's always parallels. Everything in the Vim Achronim is parallels within one pasuk, within pasuk to pasuk, and parak to parak, beginning to end. That's the entire, it's a very big theme in learning Levim, is to find the parallels, and by studying the parallels, it brings out the essence of what we are discussing. Also, interesting here, it says, Nachal Mitzrayim. There's much discussion, what is Nachal Mitzrayim? There's the Yor, and there is the Nahor Mitzrayim, the River of Mitzrayim, the Nachal Mitzrayim, and different Sukkim, there are different bodies of water affiliated, associated with Mitzrayim, described with different terms. What are they? It's not clear. There are many opinions in each matter, but over here, it's an interesting point. There is a parallel between the Shibboleth HaNahar. So the pasuk is precise. When it wants to use the word Nahar, it uses the word Nahar. Because when it describes the Shibboleth, the gush of the river, that's in reference to one locale. Then when it refers to Ad, it seemingly it's all connected. I mean, that's the simple understanding. Not necessarily. Maybe there's two different bodies of water, but Ad, Nachal, Mitzrayim, two different bodies of water, one set in connection. Just to keep in mind, it's the Nachal Mitzrayim. Sometimes when you study this, there's discussion, what is the Nachal, and what is the Nohar, what is the Yam Suf, what is the different types of bodies of water. Okay, now you go to Parak Chofes. Yeah?
To this pasuk, explain Nachal as Nachva, the
inheritance
of Mitzrayim. In
okay, words, I hear
Mitzrayim
you. Yeah.
Did to us and everything.
Okay, that's an idea. It's not the meaning of Nachal. Nachal means.
Yeah,
it's a Drush.
A Drush.
Okay, possible. Okay, possible. Anything
also,
is possible.
There's, yeah. You know, this whole thing of good and bad.
Yeah.
Is what is the historic approach of the Goyim to get the Jews to convert? One way is the force.
Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav.
Right? And the other way, which is basically now, the smile.
Right. That's Miyad Achim. Miyad Achim means you're my brother.
Brother, right.
Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav. Yaakovin was mispal to Hashem, Hatzileni no, please save me, Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav. So exactly what you're saying. These are the two approaches the non-Jews have to conquer us.
To conversion.
To either they attack us with the approach of Miyad Ochi, right? That was Esav, to destroy us, outright destruction, Holocaust. Whoever is a Jew has to be destroyed, Mitzrayim. And then there are different periods of time in Spain. In Spain before the Inquisition, that was the big problem. There was a lot of assimilation. That was and obviously in America, that's the problem that we face today. There are no limitations. Freedom of religion is a problem if we're not careful. Okay, now we begin Perek Chofres. Now I want to warn you, Perek Chofres is a very difficult Perek. It's a long parak, very difficult parak. But it's a very powerful parak. There are a lot of yisodos and amazing things that appear in parak Chofres. Not to say that there are not amazing things that appear in every single word, but it's a lot of things stand out at us in this parak. Hoi, whoa! Now we're going back in history. We've discussed a lot in the last, all the way until now. We've gone through many nations. A lot of musa was given to Klal Yisrael. We had a lot of discussion about Yimos HaMashiach. Now we're going to go back in time. We're going back to the lifetime of Yeshaya. At the beginning of this Sefer Yeshaya begins, Yeshaya says prophecies in the days of Bimei Uziyahu, Yosam, Ochaz, and Yechizkiyahu. And during the time of Uziyahu, Yosam, and Ochaz, there were the Aseres HaShvatim existed. The Aseres HaShvatim, Malchus of Yisrael, was alive and well. And much of this prophecy was aimed at the Aseres Hashtatim. They were sinners. They were worshipping Avodah Zarah. And Sancheirif came along and wiped out, we know, the entire Malchus of Yisrael and sent into Golus the Aseres Hashvatim. And according to some opinions, the Aseres Hashvatim have never returned and will never return. Some say they will return. Some of them did return. Daniel was able to, Daniel and Yirmiyahu were able to find some of them and bring some of them back, but many of them are lost. Now he is living, he's speaking to them in their lifetime, while the Malchus of Yisrael is in existence, and he's giving them powerful musar. Hoy, woe. Woe means there's something to cry about. There's something wrong in society. And everyone, he's giving a command, people should speak up, complain, and give musar to the sinners. What's the musar? Ateres geus Shikorei Ephraim. Ephraim, what was mentioned many times, is a term that refers to the Malchus of Yisrael. Because Yeravam ben Nevat, the founder of the Malchus of Yisrael, the one who broke off from Rechavam, who took away the 10 Shvatim from the Malchus of Yehuda, from Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, came from Shevet Ephraim. And therefore the entire Malchus was called Al Shevet Ephraim, just like the Malchus of David was called Al Shevet Yehuda. So here he calls, we'll read the words backwards, Shikore means the drunkards. They're intoxicated. And in the context here it means they pursue luxury. They pursue the good life. Every time we mention Yayin, wine, it means joy, to live life just for the sake of enjoyment with no concern for anything spiritual. The Malchus of Yehuda, the leaders and the population, were swept up in the pursuit of joy, luxury, bodily pleasures, materialism. This was their life. They forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he calls them people who are drunk. They are intoxicated. They are shikore, drunkards of the Malchus of Ephraim. And they put upon themselves an ateres, a crown of geos, of arrogance. This lifestyle has caused them to become extremely arrogant. And woe to these people. So four words describing the Malchus of Ephraim, of Yisrael, they are the ateres geos, a crown of arrogance, shikorei Ephraim, the drunkards of Ephraim. They're nothing more than the tzitz novel. They're a beautiful flower. If you look at them from the outside, if someone comes to visit the country and he takes a look, it's beautiful. They look like flowers blossoming, but they're nothing more than a tzitz novel. They will wither. Flowers wither very quickly after they bud and they blossom and they reach their peak. In a very short time, the flowers are in the garbage. They don't last very long. So the beauty and this crown of arrogance and this pursuit of materialism will wither into nothing in a very short time. That's part of the musar. They are a tzitz novel. They're a beautiful flower, but they will wither. Novel means to wither. Yeah?
When the son at Tokyo used the phrase,
ketzitz novel. Ketzitz novel, like a flower that withers. Tzvi means the beauty, sifarto, of his splendor. This is parallels, there's a lot of repetition, the psukim are very difficult. It's not easy to translate the words word after word. You have to look at the entire picture in the pasuk in one shot. Tzvi sifarto means beauty, sifarto means his splendor. That is a parallel to the beginning of the pasuk, ateres geos, a crown of arrogance. So it's a, tzvi, the beauty of his glory, asher al rosh, which is upon the head, Gei Shemonim, the valley of oil. In ancient times, if you were wealthy or you were important, you would smear your head with oil. Okay, it's hard for us to understand this idea, but this is the way it was. You smear your head with oil to look beautiful, to shine. So he says the people in Ephraim, the nation, the Malchus of Yisrael, they are so swept up with materialism. It's like they're drowning in a valley of oil. Their heads are drowning in a pools, valleys of oils, on the head of the Gei Shemonim, a valley of oil. Halume Yoyin. They're so intoxicated, they hurt themselves. Halume means to be smitten, to be hit, to be injured, to fall. yoyin because of wine. In other words, they get drunk and they're intoxicated and they can't walk a straight line, and the smallest impediment in the road caused them to trip and stumble, and they bang their head, they bang their body on the floor in their state of drunkenness. So that's the whole pasuk. Again, the whole pasuk, it's not easy to translate as one sentence. You have to look at the entire thing. Try to read the pasuk again, and try to look at the pasuk in the big picture of things. Hoy, whoa, I have what to complain about, Yeshaya says. Ateriskeus, the splendor of arrogance, Shikurei Ephraim. Now, ateris means a crown, and that's important because we're going to come back to this at the end of the pasuk. A crown is upon the head. Vitzitz noivel, they are nothing more than a beautiful, a withering flower, Tzvi Sefarto. Their beauty, read it backwards, the Tzvi Sefarto, the beauty of their splendor is nothing more than a flower that will very shortly wither and turn into dust. Now, when it says Al Rosh Geshmonim, that goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. The crown, this crown of arrogance, is resting upon a head that is drowning in a valley of oil. And then we're going backwards to the pasuk again, where it says that they are shikore, they are drunkards, Ephraim. They're drunk to the point where haluma yoyin, they fall and they stumble and they collapse in the street and bruise themselves in their state of intoxication. So it's, this is like a typical pasuk. You want to give an example of when you learn Yeshaya and you learn some svarim in Treyasar, a little bit of Yecheskel also, Yirmi is not as difficult, where there are a lot of themes and words in the pasuk and you have to jump around to make sense. Like where it says Al Rosh Gei Shmonim, it only makes sense when you take those words Al Rosh and you bring it back, you connect it with the word Ateris Geos. It's like there are really three psukim in this one pasuk. There is Hoy Ateris Geos, a crown of Geos, Al Rosh Gei Shmonim. That's one pasuk. Then there's a pasuk that says Shikori Ephraim Haluma Yoyin. They're drunkards to the point where they injure themselves because of the wine. And then there's another pasuk in the middle of this middle that says they are hoy, the woe to them, because it's you have to read it backwards. Tzvi Sefarto is a tzitz noivel. Their beautiful splendor is nothing more than a flower that will wither. There are really three different ideas being expressed in the pasuk, and you only can see these three ideas when you take a piece here, a piece there, and you glue them together to make sense of the pasuk. That's obviously what makes Nevi'im Achronim very difficult, and not every pasuk is like that, but this is one of the more difficult psukim where you have that idea of taking these three ideas and do a cut and paste to make sense of the pasuk. Okay, pasuk base. Hine chozok na. Here Hashem is speaking to the Malchus of Israel and says, you better shape up. If you don't shape up and stop this nonsense, you're in a lot of trouble. Because hinei, behold, chozok v'yamitz la Hashem. Hashem has in his possession might, chozok, and two different words which mean the same thing. Chozok v'yamitz, I'm not sure, might and power. I'm not really exactly sure the difference of these two words, translation. Strength, chazak yamatz. What's the difference?
Chazak yamatz. Well, they usually translate as be strong and of good courage.
Okay, strong and courage.
Strength.
Okay, chazak in Hebrew it sounds a lot better, but try to translate it as strength. Strength and power and courage. Chazak v'amitz. Chazak v'amatz. Very good, very good, very good comparison. Very good example. Chazak v'amitz l'Hashem. Hashem has enormous power. And Hashem will use His power against you to destroy you if you do not do tshuva. Now here the pasuk gives three different forms of power. Number one, kizerem borat. Hashem is a torrent of hail. Hail is very dangerous. Hail can kill. A ball of hail that comes out of the sky and hits a person on the head, chas v'shalom, that person is gone. Hashem, a torrent means a continuous force, a powerful force of Barak. That's number one. Number two, Sa'ar. You have to interchange the sin with a samach. When you have the word sa'ar with a samach, it means a wind, a storm, a powerful wind. So that's very common with the letters are interchanged. Sa'ar kotev. Kotev means destruction. So in other words, there are many, many words for korban, destruction, but that's one word over here. Bor asar kotev, period. That's another form of power. Hashem will send forth a wind of destruction. Number three, kizerem, another torrent. But here it's not a torrent of hail, it's a torrent of mayim kabirim, shotefim. Shotef means to flow. Kabir means powerful water, a powerful torrent of water. Mayim kabirim shotefim, flowing, a powerful. That's really what a zerem is. The pasuk seems to be translating the word zerem for us. What is a zerem? It's mayim kabirim shotefim. So why then did it say the word zerem? I don't know. There are other types of torrents, I guess, but the simple torrent is a flowing of a powerful flow of water. He niach la'aretz, Hashem will cast down to the earth biyod. Biyod here is short for yod hachazaka. A strong outstretch, and we had yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday we learned. Gave an example where these pesukim are short; they're missing words. Yeshaya speaks in very short; doesn't mince words. It's very mekatzer. And biyod means with a powerful hand, like a yod hachazaka. Hashem will bring upon you His powerful yod hachazaka in three ways: with a zerem borot, number two, a sahar kotev. Number three, a zerem mayim kabirim shaitvim, and which these three things together, he niach la'aretz biyad, he will bring down to the earth with his powerful hand. What do these three things correspond to? This is very easy. We go back, this is very, very important site in Perik Ches, the end of Perik Ches, when we learn about the golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. The golos of Aseres HaShvatim at the end of, I think, let me just, maybe a pair of tests. Give me 1 second. The end of Perek tests. No, not Perek tests. Perek Ches. Yes, Perek Ches. The end of Perek Ches. The last pasuk of Perek Ches is a very important pasuk. You can turn back to that pasuk. It describes the three stages of the golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. We spoke about this at length when we learned this parak. First, it's three which are divided into two. The first was easy. The first wave was easy. There was not the Bnei Yisrael. There was very little resistance, and there was not much death. It was just exile. But the second wave did not go so easy. There was resistance, and when there was resistance, there was war. And the Jewish people lost, and they were forcefully uprooted from their home with much suffering and persecution. And the second wave was broken up into two parts. And that's what this pasuk summarizes. It's a very important historical pasuk. It tells us exactly what happened, how the Aseres HaShvatim were sent into exile with three waves of exile. It says, pasuk of Gimel Ben Perites, Ki lo mu'af, there is no exhaustion. They're not tired. When the enemy comes to take to exile the Aseret HaShvatim, they never get tired. There's no exhaustion. La'asher mutzokla, to the nation that will oppress the Jewish people. Then it's ko'es harishon heikal. The first time, which means the first wave of exile was kal. Good morning. Was easy. It was light. Meaning there was no resistance. The Jewish people, they went, and therefore they didn't suffer that much. What did that include? That included the land along the Mediterranean. Arza Zivulun, the Arza Naphtali. Those two tribes went into Golis by King of Ashur easily. But Viho Acharon, the second wave of exiles, the second attempt by the King of Ashur to exile the Aseres HaShvatim, wasn't so easy. The Jewish people resisted. It was hichbit. It was heavy. There were casualties. There was a loss of life. What did the second wave include? Two parts. Derech Hayom. The Derech Hayom, which was Eiver Hayar. The Derech Hayom, the way of the Yom. the way of the Yom and the Eder HaYardein, those two parts, and then the Galil HaGoyim. The Derech HaYom, the area along the sea, I'm not exactly sure what Derech HaYom, let's see what Rashi says. Derech HaYom, O son HaYoshim Al Yomo, Shal Tveria. Okay, he Eretz Naphtali Shenemar Yom Derem Yerasha. That was Eretz Naphtali. It was another section. Eretz Naphtali was part of the first wave. But there was a second wave which included the people that lived along the Yom and the Eiver Hayardin, that was the Golus of Reuven and Gad. That was the Golus of Reuven and Menashe and the Chatzi Shevet of God. Eiver Hayardin. And then was the Galil HaGoyim, that was the center. Galil means the metropolis of the nations. Everyone came to do business in Eretz Yisrael. So the center, the major portion of Eretz Yisrael was called the Galil HaGoyim. So there are three stages of God. Let's look at the Metzudah started here in the Pasuk, and that Pasuk of Eiver HaYardein. What's we need to, because this is a very important with the entire thing, in fact, because this is a very important Pasuk which defines exactly how the Aseres HaShvatim went to go, and it parallels the three stages here. Let's read from Dibur HaMaskel and Pasuk Metzudah started Pasuk Chav Gimel. Let's start from Dibur HaMaskel HaKo'es HaRishon, the first time. Golus ha'em tzoyis tihye kala ka'oysa shal eis ha'rishayin. Like the first golus, asha he'kali he'golos es eretz zavulim v'eretz naftali. Eretz naftali v'chein b'golus ha'em tzoyis lo yiglo rak oysam sheba'ever hayarde. The second time was also easy. It was only the people on the Eiver Hayardein. V'achroin hechbid. But the last one was, as I made a mistake, I told you the first wave had two parts. The first wave of exiles had two parts. Let's read the passage again. Heikal Ko'es HaRishon was Heikal. That included Arza Zevulon, the Arza Naphtali. V'ho Acheron Hichbid, Avol Golos, V'achron Yichbad Mehem, Ki Al Kol Yiglu, Derech Hayom, Achshav, now Moines Seder Golusam, the Omar Betchilu Golu Hayoshin Derech Hayom Ashal Tveri V'Gin Eretz Naphtali Shemar Bo Yom Liram Yerosh V'Zeh Hayo B'Mei Pekach Ben Yom Al Yom K'mashu Kasa B'Melochem Beis V'Hu B'Shnas Tal L'Ochas Eva Hayardin Achazer Golu Went to Golus Oysa Shebe V'Hayardin K'mashu Omar V'Yohar V'Yigolein L'Uveni V'Zeh B'Mei Hoshe Ben Elo Hi B'Shnas Tvid Beis L'Ochas Ben K'mashu Galil Hagoyim, Achazer Golu Kulam B'Soifi Mei Hoshea Fu B'Shnas Vav L'Chizkiyo K'mashu Kasa B'Melochem Beis Eretz Shobuchlo. So now I finally got shot in the pasuk. Let's review the pasuk one more time. I didn't explain it correctly. Pasuk of Gimel says, "Ki lo yimu of l'asher mutzak." There is no exhaustion to the oppressor that brings tsar upon the people. Ko'eis harishayim heikal. The first time it was easy, which included Arza Zevulon, the Arza Naphtali, the ha'achron. But the second wave of exiles was hichbit. Period. Put a hard period there. Now the Pasuk explains that these two stages included three steps. Number one was Derech Hayom, and that's what the Pasuk mentioned before, Arza Zevulon, the Arza Naphtali. Then number two was Eiver Hayardein, and number three was Galil HaGoyim. Okay, so Pasuk first tells us there were two major waves of exile. The first was light and the second was hard, and then we explain that these two major waves were really broken down into three parts. The first part that was Kal included Derech Hayom and Eiver Hayardein. Derech Hayom was mentioned above as being the Arza Zevulun, the Arza Naphtali, and also Reuven and Gad, Chatzis Shevet Menashe in the Eiver Hayardein. And when the pasuk above said V'ho Acheron Hichbid, the last way was hard, that refers to the Galil HaGoyim, the center of Eretz Yisrael. So the perimeter was part of the first wave, along the Mediterranean, along the Eiver Hayardein. That was those two stages, those two parts was part of the first stage. The second stage that was Hichbid included the Glil HaGoyen. These three stages is what the Pasuk refers to here in our Pasuk in the Perek Chaf Ches. In Perek Chaf Ches where it says, here, Pasuk Beis, Hinei Chosuk Yamis Lashem, it says three stages. There's a Zerm of Borod, and then there is a Sahar Kotef, and then there is Kizerem Mayim Kabirim Shaitfim, Hiniach Laritz Bayar, three different stages. These three different stages correspond to the three different stages of exile that we mentioned in the end of Perek Ches. That's the only point I want to bring out over here in this Pasuk. Okay, we'll stop here.